reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in Ezekiel, page 917 in your pew Bibles. And we read Ezekiel 33, beginning at verse 7. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his ways. That person shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his ways, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him. When he transgresses, and as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, found on page 1225. And we read 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 13. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank from the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things took place as examples for us, and we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. O Lord, have mercy on us. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, page 1115 in your pew Bibles. And we read Luke 13, beginning at verse 1. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. This is our text. Please be seated. The words that I have just read to you are some of the most comforting words in all of Scripture. They tell us of God's faithfulness. They tell us that nothing we face in life is so strong and powerful that it can overwhelm and defeat us. But that God will always be there by our side, and He will provide a means by which we can endure all things. Unfortunately, while these are some of the most comforting words in all of Scripture, they are also words of Scripture that are unfortunately also taken out of context more than any other words in Scripture. And so I'd like you to take your Bibles out, if you wouldn't mind for a minute, and turn to page 1225 so that we can focus together on all the words that Paul includes here. We start at chapter 10, verse 12. And note that before Paul delivers these tremendous words of comfort, there's also a word of warning that precedes it in verse 12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. A warning about human arrogance. A warning about trusting in our own abilities and our own methods and our own strengths, and confusing that kind of trust with trust in God. It is not our ways that deliver us. It's His ways. And so often when we're praying to God, our ears aren't open to listening to Him. Our prayers are sort of like, God, I have this problem, I need you to fix it, and this is how you do it. That's not how it works. It is so vitally important when we pray to God that we do so in the method, for instance, Luther always prayed. You know, it's said that he used to spend 3 hours a day in prayer. And he would tell others who thought that that was way too much time in prayer, that if he didn't spend that much time, he didn't think he could get as much done as he got done. But it's the kind of prayer that Luther had that was so important. You see, his prayer was always searching through the Scriptures. It wasn't just him talking to God, asking God for things, and then telling God how he should take care of these things. It was an act of looking through Scripture, searching for God's ways, not Luther's ways. The promise of God that He is always going to be with us, always help us, is a true and faithful promise. But it's not fulfilled when we rely on our own means and our own strengths. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. There's another lead-up verse to these words of promise that God offers us in Scripture. And I find them to be also some of the most important words to understanding God's promise. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Whatever you're going through, somebody else has gone through before. And yet, and this may seem like a strange form of arrogance, we are quite arrogant about our troubles and problems. You don't understand me. If you're a parent and your children at some point in their time uttered those words to you, please raise your hand. And I'll bet when they said that, you understood them perfectly. For the most part, parents, when they hear their children's complaints, have been there and done that. But yet, we find it hard to grasp how common our troubles are. We think that our situation somehow is uniquely different. And because it's uniquely different, whatever advice somebody is offering us, we can conveniently ignore because it just doesn't quite fit our situation. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Not only has someone gone through whatever it is you're going through, but someone has gone through what you're going through and not been conquered by it. With no more gifts, no more talents, no more help, no more assistance than what you are already being offered. And yet, of the parts of this section of Scripture I think people forget, I think that's the most forgotten. And as evidence, I repeat something I shared with you last Wednesday evening. But what is going on in our culture? Ninth graders to 12th graders, suicide rate. 1 in 12 attempted. My goodness, at that age, thinking your life is over and there's no way that anybody can help you. And not only 1 in 12 attempted, 1 in 6 have thought about it. My problems are so unique. They are just beyond help. That's a lie that Satan tries to get us to believe. And it's a lie that's untrue. We have to let go of the arrogance and pride that we have, not just the kind of pride that relies on our own resources, looks to ourselves to figure it out and ignores the Word of God, but the kind of pride that looks upon our problems as so different, so unique, that even when people do offer us help and assistance, we can just close our ears to them and think that somehow God has abandoned us and that we are beyond help. We again need to remember to look to the cross, to the suffering, the death of Jesus Christ. And remember how much God went through. And to realize that He's not just a God capable of helping us. He's a God who fully understands what is going on in our lives. The human flesh of Jesus is the same human flesh that you and I wear. When He felt loneliness, it is the same kind of loneliness that we feel. When he felt pain, it's the same kind of pain that you and I feel. When he died, it's the same death that you and I will experience. But that frail human flesh lives, endured, and conquered. And he didn't do it for himself. He did it so that we could know the faithfulness and trustworthiness of God. If Jesus Christ conquered, you and I can conquer. But again, not by our own reason or strength, but by the help that God uniquely offers to us. And so to the last part. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape. Now note that there's not a period after letting you be tempted beyond your own ability. You, in fact, will be tempted beyond your own ability all the time. You can't take on death by yourself. It's impossible. The world and the devil are a lot stronger than you, and they prove it every single day. God's promise is not that you're not going to be tested or tried. But with the temptation, he will provide a means of escape that you may be able to endure it. You can't conquer death, but he conquered it for you. And there are a lot of other things in life that you cannot take on all by yourself. And that's why God surrounds you with people and resources, fellow Christians, and the Word of God. But again, so often it's like we can take these things on all by ourselves, and we close our ears to the help that others would offer us. You're not that strong. And I know it's not a German thing to do. Norwegians sometimes struggle with this too, by the way. But you have to ask for help. And not think that in the asking for help that is somehow diminishing you as a person. You're already a poor, miserable sinner. How much lower can you get? But you are a child of grace as well. Which means that we live not by our own strength or our own means, but we live by the strength and the will and the grace and the gifts of God. Be open to being helped. Those are the means by which God comes to you and proves his faithfulness. He just doesn't do it by miracles. He uses everything around you. He uses everyday people, if you will. So when we lose our arrogance, when we stop relying on our own strength, when we open ourselves up to letting God help us in any way he wants to, that's when these words will prove faithful in our lives. That he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to stand up, may be able to endure it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.